This is the Stick and Hack Show. Conversation, discussion, debate, and golf talk from a stick, Mike Ryan, and the hack, Adam Grubb. Boys, you are up.
All right, everybody, welcome in. This is the Stick and Hack program, the most sophisticated golf show in the entire free world. I'm your host, Adam Grubb. That's Mike Ryan. Mike, good morning.
Morning, buddy.
Oh, God, I didn't even have you potted up. What a bad start, Mike.
Yeah, morning, buddy. Is that better?
The show would be much better if this was just down, just all the way down there.
Because my voice is loud enough as it is.
I have to put, we have three mics on you.
Every episode, you need to talk louder.
Right.
I try.
And you've stopped the other habit you had, which was to be very excited.
I did.
that's done.
I'm very neutral today.
That was a two-episode I'm very excited. Now you're very neutral.
This is neutral, Mike.
All right. The most sophisticated golf show in the free world presented by Perfect Pro-Ams. The Pro-Am at Camelback is the next event, May 1st through the 3rd of this year in Scottsdale, Arizona. Play alongside professionals in the most unique Pro-Am format that there is. Go to perfectproams.com to learn more and register today. It's an incredible event. We're happy to have them as a proud sponsor of the Stick and Hack Show. Guest this week is Ted Simons, Executive Director of Patriot Golf Foundation. Their mission is very simple, Mike. It's to improve the lives of military veterans and their families through the healing power of golf. And we are honored and pumped to have Ted on the program today.
Yeah, I'm super excited. Really, really great organization, and I love what they do.
Yeah, so. And you know, it's one of those things that everyone knows, everyone understands. It's a cause that everybody can get behind, but the connection between veterans and their health and their coming back into civility, all of that is, we all know, right?
Yeah.
The issues with that. What we don't know is the story behind how golf plays into that.
Yeah.
And that's where today is going to be. So Ted Simons, and he's got an incredible history, an incredible bio in the golf world for years and years and years.
Yeah.
And he started with the Patriot Golf Foundation last year. And so we're going to have him on here in just a little bit. Mike, first up, a story that is catching fire on stickandhack.com. It's a true story. We had to, our site was shut down last night due to...
Oh, was it?
Yeah, it was shut down due to the traffic of the show. Yeah.
Very exciting.
Yeah, it is.
I think.
Yeah, the site was broken. We broke the site.
Okay. I think you broke the site, but that's okay.
literally hundreds of people broke the site. We probably should look into our bandwidth because that's, that obviously shouldn't happen.
For sure.
So the article is the nine members at every club. So there are a few here, and it's written by our contributor, Steve Reynolds, who wrote the nine members we all know at every country club.
Yep.
And I want to talk to you about a few of these. I want to get your feelings, just how you would deal with some of these people, okay? Because the way you would deal with them, in my mind, is different than how I would deal with them.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's usual. That's on most things.
Right, but that's on literally everything.
Literally everything, but okay.
All right, so the different types of personalities of a country club are as such. There's nine of them. I'm going to focus on four for this, for the timing.
Okay.
The tortoise.
Yep.
Okay, so the tortoise is the slow player, the meticulous player, the I'm going to read the green for a minute. I'm going to take eight practice swings.
Yep.
I'm going to look for a ball for up to 12 minutes. I don't care what is happening behind me or in front of me. I'm going to look for that ball. Mm-hmm. The tortoise is the most annoying player in America to play with. How do you, sir, deal with the tortoise?
Typically, I will just keep going.
Jeez, shocking.
Without them.
Okay. That's better.
I'll just keep going.
You just keep walking.
If they're back there looking for their ball and I'm over it, I'm out.
You just go.
I just go and I go to my ball and start playing and they hope.
So would you ever say anything or is it just
Might.
They watch you continue to move.
I might. Okay. And it would probably be more of a subtle jab.
Right. Right. But, Mike style. They call that stick style.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The subtle jab.
Subtle jab, for sure.
So I'm going to go ahead. I'm laying two.
Yeah.
I'm 8 feet away. enjoy your trek into the woods.
I'm done searching for your ball right now.
I don't care. I will pay you the $3 if you can continue.
Exactly.
All right. My favorite guy at the guy or gal at the club is the gambler.
Yeah.
We all know the gambler. If you said, hey, that hole 11's tough. The gambler says, no, it's not. I'll bet you right now I can beat you on hole 11 with two clubs. And you go, whoa, what the hell just happened here?
Yeah.
I was just having a conversation. Now I'm involved in some sort of $50 bet. And the gambler never just bets for a dollar. No. He always has a very specific number in his mind immediately, which is $50. I'll bet you $50, right? How do you deal with the gambler not only on when you're playing, but in the clubhouse and in just that general frivolity of the gambler who is typically the center of attention, typically telling you the stories of his or her losses or wins, and you are now in the middle of that deal? How do you deal with the gambler?
You must be firm.
In what way?
And direct.
Okay.
Typically, the gambler wants to, I don't want to say bully you into the bet, but
goad you.
Goad you.
The word is goad.
It gets you to think that it's a great bet.
All right, it's like Back to the Future. What are you, chicken?
Oh, no, it's a great bet. It's a great bet. Let me think. They'll go through the think about it.
That's right. That's the line.
This is a great bet for you. This isn't, you have the best odds. You are amazing, and you're going to win this bet.
This is a
when in actuality, you do not have
a game. No gambler has ever given somebody odds and a bet that was in their favor.
Correct.
Casino doesn't say to you, hey,
absolutely,
this is great. Yes. This is great for you. There's no chance you lose.
I know.
Right?
Yeah.
The gambler. You're right.
You have to be firm and say, if it's a bad bet, you have to be very firm.
Come on, Chief.
Yeah.
I'm not dumb. And they go, oh, okay. Oh. And then they'll go to the dumb guy who's in the corner. All right, what about the young punk? Do we know the young punk?
Yeah.
So these are personalities at a country club. How do we deal with them? Stick style, hack style. Because, by the way, the hack version of dealing with the gambler is...
you take the bet and then lose.
That's 100%.
And then you
sit
in the corner and drink because you're angry because you just lost $50.
Why did I do that? It's so stupid. I was just trying to be cool.
Yeah.
I was just trying to fit in with the crowd, you know? Because the gambler's typically one of those guys at the club, too, that is that gregarious and exciting, and people like to be around him.
Yeah.
And so you're trying to be one of the cool kids. Yeah, I'll take the bet. Right? All right. The young punk. You know him. The young punk is the new person at the club, younger. Has a sense of a little bit of an ego, a big ego.
Yeah.
Just came out of college, maybe played a couple years, played high school, maybe walked on to some D3 school, right?
Yep.
Good player. He has all the new equipment, has all the new clothes, and also knows that, hey, I'm here to make a stand and I'm going to win the first tournament I'm in.
Yep.
How do you deal with him as club champion? Mike Ryan.
Typically, you got to slow play that guy.
Okay.
You don't have to kind of just call him out, but play with him. Maybe make a bet that you know you're going to win, and then once you win, at the end of it,
call him Chief.
That's when you
You call him Chief.
You get him the direct jab, straight on.
Hey, guy.
Shiv.
Winner.
Shiv style.
Look, Shiv style.
Yeah.
That is.
And you go
aggressive.
Hey, know your role, bro.
Know your role.
Know your role.
Slow your roll, bro. All right, what about the sandbagger? We know this guy.
Oh, God.
The sandbagger. How do you deal with the sandbagger or reverse sandbagger? I don't know which is worse. Somebody on Facebook commented, hey, what about the reverse sandbagger about this article?
Yeah.
But I think the sandbagger is worse. How do you deal with it? Would you report them? Would you say, hey, guy, what are we doing here? I mean, are you for real? Look at you! You're pen seeking.
Actually, I feel like the reverse sandbagger is easier to deal with than the sandbagger because the reverse sandbagger you can have an intelligent conversation with them about the fact that they need to post all their scores because it's in their best interest.
Yeah.
The sandbagger, however,
I
think is a it has to be a group,
like an intervention.
It has to be like an intervention.
Intervention.
Yeah.
Like sit around here, my
like,
man.
Like Dan, we need to talk. We're all here because we love you.
We love you, and we understand you're not going to want to do this.
Yes,
but this is for you.
Yeah, this is for you.
This is for you.
Here's what we're going to need you to start posting.
That's
all your
scores. And I tell you, there is no more not a more uncomfortable conversation than that. Yes. So to have a group setting like that.
It's a group intervention because then 100%. It's not just you.
No. That's how you deal with some of those personalities. Yeah. Go to the 9 personalities of the Country Club members on stickandact.com and get your thoughts. Somebody who I can assume and assure you records all of his scores every single round is Ted Simons, Executive Director of Patriot Golf Foundation, joins the Stick and Act Show now. Ted, welcome in.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the time.
All right. So, Ted, two things. Number one, do you know any of the personalities that we just spoke of in the Country Club? Have you ever played with any of those guys?
Maybe just a few of them. Each and every one of them, they exist. Doesn't matter where you are in the world. Every club's got that group.
Yeah. And so we just gave you some tips on how to deal with them. So hopefully in your future, you'll take those to heart.
I've already made notes. I'm sad.
Good. All right. So, Ted, you are executive director of Patriot Golf Foundation. Your mission is admirable at the very lowest level of praise I could give you to improve the lives of military veterans and their families through the powerful and healing power of golf. Tell us a little bit about your foundation, what you guys do, and how you got into this.
All right. Well, we started the Patriot Golf Foundation just this past fall. I got involved in an 18-year career developing golf academies around the world for a pretty good player. You probably heard of him. His name's Jack Nicklaus. And so after lovely career, one of my former directors from an academy we had in Las Vegas, he reached out to me and told me about his idea for the Patriot Golf Schools. And I bought in hook, line, and sinker and just said, okay, great. Let's go for it. And at that point, started the foundation, filed all the paperwork, and just hit the ground running and put this thing on the map.
Well, so, is it one of those things where it was right in front of you and you said, look, this is a no-brainer for us. This makes complete sense. And then you had to figure out how to physically, take golf and take the veterans and combine them into something that was unique to the space?
Absolutely. So what we're doing, which is actually very unique, is our entire platform is based on golf instruction with the veterans and then taking the revenues that we generate from our Patriot Golf Schools and sharing those with other veteran charities. So just yesterday we had a golf school at Camelback here in Scottsdale. We had 7 veterans that came out and got to experience golf instruction on the lesson tee, the short game area, and then turn around and we went out and did a 9-hole playing lesson with them. And the response was just phenomenal. So we're just not giving money to the veterans. We're involving veterans in golf and giving them an opportunity to, in some cases, they weren't very accomplished players. We were able to get them going the right direction. We had a couple that were pretty good sticks and they really were able to fine tune where they're at and take them to another level.
Well, I think what is cool, and Mike, you can attest to this, is that golf is one of those sports where it just gets in your blood and it doesn't matter what you've been through, what you're going through, ailments, physical or mental.
Yeah.
You get out on that course and in most cases it's euphoric and it's different and you're just out there.
Yeah.
And you can probably understand where that type of therapy for veterans could, it sounds silly to go play golf, to get over some of your excitements and PTSD and of those natures, but it's true.
Yeah, I think it's amazing to me. I think it's such a great concept and a way to help military in a way that allows them to quiet their mind, kind of go out, enjoy nature, enjoy themselves, and heal themselves. I think both spiritually and physically.
Well,
and I think it's really great,
and it gives them something to work towards. And Ted, Ted Simons is our guest, executive director of the Patriot Golf Foundation. Ted, do you see that in your everyday that these veterans are there and just a completely different sense of themselves when they're out there on the golf course and working with your guys?
Yeah, absolutely. Yesterday, everybody coming off the golf course, they all had obviously great comments because we do a good job. But the big thing that they really keyed on was the camaraderie. You know, their opportunity to be out there with fellow veterans, share experience with one another, put them into social settings that in many cases they're not comfortable in, where golf just, you know, it provides that vehicle to be out in nature, focus on some other things, talk about, again, talk about their experiences and what they're doing, you know, their pre-military experience, their military experience, their post-military experience, because everyone's got a different story. And I think what we saw was those that have moved on relatively successfully in their post-military career, they were able to really help mentor some that seemed to be maybe just a little bit stuck. So everybody wins in this situation. Obviously, the golf part is a big part of what we're doing, but giving them, you know, kind of a sense of self through this experience was, yesterday for us anyway, very rewarding.
Yeah. And, you know, Ted, you guys have kind of a who's who of golf instructors working with you. And as somebody who has been in the golf instruction space for a long time, I mean, how important is that to what you guys do? I'm sure that plays in definitely being able to put together a regimen for guys that they can stick to and work with and make them better is just key.
Yeah, the golf staff, I mean, you know, we've got a great platform, we've got a great mission, but it really comes down to the instructors. You know, very fortunate in my history of working with Jack Nicklaus and the academies. You know, I've got 20-year relationships with some of the best instructors in the country for sure. So our dean of instruction is Mike Malaska, who I've known again for over 20 years. 2011 PGA National Teacher of the Year. I would say 65-70% of our staff all came from the Nicklaus Flick Golf Schools, which back in the day were the preeminent corporate golf schools in America. Others came through the Golf Digest schools and Bob Toski. So we've got the fundamentals that, quite frankly, aren't really taught anymore. And the talent of teaching, yeah, everything from never evers to pretty good players in a 1-3 day setting is really an art form.
Yeah.
It's giving them enough information so that they do see an improvement, because that's what we're after here is, you know, getting them the opportunity to enjoy the game and see that they may have a future in the game. But, you know, working that around between all these different levels, different personalities, you know, our sponsors that are there, our veterans that are there. Yesterday we had, you know, we had a Vietnam vet, you know, that, you know, obviously he's a little bit older, and, you know, then we've got some, you know, some guys that just served 5 years and, you know, they're in their late 20s. So the talent of our staff to be able to, you know, react and coach these players up is special.
Well, and that's what is cool about your school and your instruction and your foundation. But that's what's cool about golf, because you just said it yourself. There's never evers, and there's people that have been playing their entire life that are 1 or 2 handicaps. You've got the young military veterans, and you have your older 60-70-year-old veterans that are out there. At the end of the day, you're just helping those that helped us, and that's a very, very important cause. But you're also bringing golf to people that that probably thought at one point that they couldn't ever play golf again, either due to an injury, due to a mental illness, due to coming back from service and not fully understanding how to get back into the civil world. Is that really where the crux of this idea and this concept and your decision to be part of the foundation, is that where it started?
Well, the entire Patriot Golf School was the brainchild of Seth Glasgow, who is the founder of the Patriot Golf Schools, and he was at the first Patriot Cup with Folds of Honor, and he heard Dan's story, and, you know, just, you know, turned to Dan and said, you know, we need to have Patriot Golf Schools to go along with what the Folds of Honor is doing. So that's really where it started from. When Seth introduced the concept to me, you know, I kind of took what he had in mind and, you know, really started to expand on it, you know, how we can influence more people. You know, the foundations that we, you know, aligned with are, you know, creating strategic relationships with, many of them fill specific channels, if you will, with the veterans and their rehabilitation. Folds does a fantastic job with scholarships for disabled veterans and their families. You've got the Pat Tillman Foundation that does scholarships for veterans. You've got Faraday's Foundation that now is really focused on suicide prevention. You've got K9 for Warriors. So there's so many different charities out there, foundations that are all doing great things. What we've done is try to align ourselves with those that are, one, you know, reputable, and ones that you want to have that affiliation with, because we think we've got obviously our own great brand, but then align with ones that, you know, really have a focus on a specific market segment of helping the veterans and their families.
And the combination of bringing golf into it seems like a no-brainer now, today, because it's working. And there's, as you said, there's so many other foundations. But, Mike, you know, there, unless you have played the game, unless you've been in service, unless you've done any of these things, it is hard to think of these two things pairing. But it seems like it's working for them.
Yeah, absolutely. I am just – Ted, I can't tell you how much I love this idea of what you guys are doing. I just think it's just so fantastic, and I'm really excited to see some of the things you guys are doing and going to do with this foundation. And I think it's so important to support the people that protect our freedom and give up a large portion of their life to go out there and serve our country and our communities. I just can't say enough about it.
Well, and just to be clear, how it works is the lessons are, yes, they're for veterans, but they're also for corporate America, and they're for people that anybody can take these lessons. Anybody can go to these top schools or these top instructors at your schools. The proceeds of those schools and of that actually are what you're moving towards helping veterans in their lives, correct?
Correct. So, you know, for instance, if we do a 24-person golf school, we'll have 18 patrons and we will have 6 veterans. So a veteran is always part of each of the foursomes, if you will. So not only are we, you know, having our patrons mentor the veterans, and maybe, you know, it could be a career-changing, could be a life-changing relationship, but our patrons are having the opportunity to learn about, you know, our veterans and what they've gone through and where they are. So I think, you know, there's a benefit that goes both ways with that. And the second part of our mission is, from these proceeds, we're retaining and actually creating a fund so that once, you know, we pack up and our golf school moves on, now we've got these veterans that, you know, hopefully we've got hooked into the game of golf. Now they'll be able to come back and use the local instructors that we include in our golf schools, and we will pay the instructors for their time. The veterans get free clinics, free golf instruction, you know, through this new relationship that we've been able to port.
That's great. Ted, and kind of tying into this a little bit, as a startup, you know, the number one thing you guys need is support. And you talked a little bit about some of the other foundations and nonprofits that you've worked with, that you're working with. But I know you're also working with some big corporations and some individuals as well. Is that what support are you guys getting there from you know, monetarily and any other way?
From a monetary standpoint, when you work with, if we're going after one of these large corporations and their charitable arm, you know, many times you need to have a 3-year track record. You need to have 3 years of financials to be able to qualify under, you know, their guidelines. And obviously, they've got to have guidelines because everybody's going to be coming after them.
Yeah.
So where we're at right now, because we are so new, is that we really go out and find, if you will, local sponsors for each of our golf schools.
Got it.
So we have one coming up at Reunion Resort in Orlando in March. And so, you know, we're going out and we'll put together six corporate or six company sponsorships for that 2-day golf school. So their fees go to pay the scholarship, if you will, for the veteran that attends at no charge. And, you know, we spread those costs around.
Okay.
As we get, you know, a little bit more traction, you know, a big part of what we're doing is, if you will, reestablishing corporate golf schools. This was a big part of the Nicholas Flick, many of the other large format golf schools back in the day. And, you know, when 9/11 hit, that business went away. The financial crisis of 2007-08 was the final really nail into those programs. Now, instead of, you know, a financial services company writing a check for a 24-person golf school to a company, now they're writing that to a nonprofit foundation.
Yeah.
So they get the benefits of entertaining clients, bonding opportunities between customers and their employees, while doing something good for the veterans and being able to take advantage of the, you know, the tax benefits of putting those funds to a foundation, because we all know the tax laws have changed.
Yeah.
The optics of using golf as entertainment. This way we're using golf as entertainment, but it's for a damn good cause.
Yeah,
absolutely. Agreed. So, you know, golf is healing and subtle in its ability to soothe the mind and soul and body in most cases. There are so many stories of injured vets who've used golf as really a true respite to their ailments and to their injuries or to their mental state. And you read them all the time of somebody that is playing with one arm, playing with one leg, no legs, mental issues. And they say they truly feel the power of the sport and of the game healing them for those 2 hours or 4 hours or vice versa. Tell me, have you seen that firsthand, and what does that make you feel as somebody in this space?
Well, it's absolutely amazing when you hear the stories of these veterans that, you know, they can be laying in their hospital beds and somebody comes by and says, let's get out. Come over to the golf course. And they go, are you crazy? I'm missing a leg here. I'm missing a limb. I used to be a high school athlete, even a college athlete. Now, you know, here I am, you know, dismembered. And eventually, once they get them there, you know, suddenly these individuals have a reason to get out of bed, to get to rehabilitation. They get hooked to where, you know, we've got a young man up in Michigan that, you know, become a very, very good player. He's missing a leg. And he'll clear off the mats in the snow and he'll hit balls out there for 6-7 hours. It's his opportunity to clear his mind, put himself into a good space, but also get them back into competition. You know, they went to war as competitors. They competed, obviously, at the highest level in the service. And suddenly that's all been taken away from them. You know, whether they become a championship golfer or just play in, you know, local leagues or, there's some veteran golf associations out there that put on tournaments. You know, now they get to go out and compete at a sport that, quite honestly, anybody can play the game.
Right. And I'm living proof of that, Ted. I'm living proof of that.
I think we need to get you in one of our golf schools.
Yes, yeah, I agree. Absolutely. I agree. Ted Simons, Executive Director of Patriot Golf Foundation. Go to patriotgolffoundation.com to learn more. Ted, it's admirable and it's amazing and it's an incredible story. We hope that Stick and Hack can be part of this as you move forward in your quest for this. It's a really, really exciting thing you guys are doing, and we're proud to have you on the program today.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate your support and love your show.
Thanks, great. Ted. There thanks, he goes, Ted. Ted Simons. Simons. Jeez, I almost did it again, didn't I? I'm a moron. Why am I so dumb? Why do I even have my own show? Doesn't make any sense. Executive Director of Patriot Golf Foundation, patriotgolffoundation.com to learn more. We're into the clubhouse now. Mike, remember the game Scruples?
No.
All right.
I don't think I ever played that.
So Scruples is a game.
Is that some weird hack game?
What is that? No, it was a board game about how, like, what would you do situations and scenarios before John Kiontos made it popular to say, what would you do? The game is about, you know, your moral compass in life, okay?
Okay.
So we're going to play Stick and Hack Scruples to you specifically, all right? And this is in reference to our beginning part of the show where we talked about the members of the different country clubs, okay?
Okay.
So this is what would you do, but also what's your moral compass tell you of how to handle this, okay? Yep. Stick and Hack Scruples with Mike Ryan. Here we go.
Okay.
The club gambler asks you for $50.
Like a loan? Or like, just like?
He said, hey, can I have $50? What's your reaction? What do you do? The club gambler says, hey, hey, boss, can I have 50 bucks?
What's it for, bro?
That's what you say?
Yeah.
He says, I need the cash. And he starts to twitch a little bit, jonesing. He's got action riding, baby.
Sure,
Let it ride. You just give it to him. You don't care, right? 50 bucks. All right, so you're a good person.
Yeah.
You'll never see that again. By the way,
that's
50
true.
Bucks.
I am absolutely giving that with that knowledge.
That's gone.
Yes.
All right, Stick and Hack Scruples, question two. The slow golfer starts to complain about the guys in front. So the slow golfer's with you and starts to complain about the guys in front.
I start laughing.
You laugh?
Internally.
Okay, so you don't call it out.
I don't. It depends on how guttural my reaction
is. Right.
If I can hold it in, I might try, but I feel like it would be a burst of laughter.
Let's say on like hole 15.
Yeah.
If at hole 15 he's complaining about the guys in front, the slow player, the tortoise, I would say, are you for real, dude? That has been you for 14 holes.
Well, typically, if you're playing with the tortoise, you're not waiting on anybody.
Right.
Just saying.
That's kind
of
the
point. Never even get to that.
You might hit darkness before you see another person. Stick and Act Scruples, question three. The young punk starts cursing out a guy in his yard for touching his ball. So let me preface this. He's down the fairway on the right-hand side. His ball is out of bounds, and the neighbor is going after the ball, and he starts to yell at him, and it ends up being your neighbor. I'm just going to add some layers of complexity here.
Man.
Okay, and that neighbor is actually your father. Okay, I've lost interest in my own question here. Who the hell cares?
It would definitely be hey, chill out, dude.
All right,
calm down.
You're telling young punk to just pump the brakes. You're not going to just ignore it and let him make his own fire.
No, absolutely not.
The sandbagger is up by five and $100 at the turn. On you, sir. Ask for an adjustment of strokes at the turn. You're down $100.
There would be.
You're down $150 because you loaned the gambler $50.
Yeah, there would be a very guttural curse used.
Right. That wasn't the question. The question was.
What?
Do you ask for an adjustment of strokes?
Oh, I'm asking for an adjustment on strokes?
Oh, God.
Yeah. No, I thought you were saying he's asking.
No. The sandbagger is
up $100 and he asked for an adjustment on
his
strokes.
He's up by five and $100 on you.
I don't ask for adjustment.
You don't.
I just take my medicine.
You just take your medicine.
Yeah, and then I just don't ever bet him again.
All right.
Or if I play with him, I tell them you're not getting that many strokes again.
Okay. All right. So you don't ask for an adjustment. You're not that guy.
No.
Okay. I am.
Let's play better.
Okay. Of those members... Of the Tortoise Gambler Young Punk Sandbagger, of those members, who would you be most likely to mentor? Mentor, Mike, means to take someone under their wing. Okay,
I know what it means.
Okay,
thanks.
Yep, didn't know.
Probably the Young Punk.
Huh? I was not anticipating that. I thought you would have no time for the Young Punk and would tell him to pound sand.
No, I think the Young Punk usually means well. You just got to give him a little.
Yeah.
Little sage advice here and there.
Young punk typically walks all the time too.
I don't play with those guys.
No. All right.
So, anyway,
which member of those members, the tortoise, the gambler, the young punk, the sandbagger, would you file a complaint against at the club?
You?
No. I'm not part of that list.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure. Jesus. Okay. Once again, another fantastic show ruined by a crappy comment by Mike Ryan at the end. I will now go drown my sorrows.
I do my best.
Yeah, no, incredible. Ted Simons from the Patriot Golf Foundation. My thanks to him for being on the program. PatriotGolfFoundation.com to find out more. Show brought to you this week by Perfect Pro-Ams. Their event is in May. PerfectProAms.com. Mike, proud of you. Good show.
Thanks, man. Peace out, guys.
The Stick and Hack Show is now over. Subscribe, rate, comment. And tell your friends. You are now free to go about your day.